Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Planning Podcast series on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Joining me for today's conversation, glad to welcome back Jacqueline Denton, as well as Matt Fecteau, members of the Advanced Planning Group here at UBS. This team helps ultra-high net worth families and individuals with estate planning, tax planning, family office structuring, and other planning issues and strategies. Jacqueline is a senior wealth strategist based in Nashville, Tennessee, and Matt is a wealth strategist based in Boston, Massachusetts. With that, Jacqueline, Matt, thank you both for dropping by, spending some time today with our listeners and clients. To begin, why don't you tell us a bit about what you've been working on lately with our advisors and clients? Matt, if you'd like to begin, and then we'll hear from Jacqueline a little later.
Sure. Thanks, Dan. One topic that's been getting a lot of attention recently is the tax legislation that was enacted last year and the changes it made to the tax treatment of charitable giving. Specifically, the legislation made several changes to the income tax deductibility of charitable donations beginning with the 2026 tax year. First, taxpayers who do not itemize their deductions and instead claim the standard deduction are now able to deduct up to $1,000 for single taxpayers and up to $2,000 for married couples filing jointly. For reference, the standard deduction for 2026 is $16,100 for single filers and $32,200 for joint filers. This new deduction for non-itemizers is intended to encourage charitable giving by taxpayers who claim the standard deduction, which comprise about 90% of all taxpayers in the U.S. For those who itemize their deductions, on the other hand, the legislation also sets some new limits on the amounts that can be deducted and the tax benefit of high earners' donations. First, the new law sets a floor on the amount that must be donated before a deduction can be claimed. A taxpayer can deduct their charitable donations only to the extent the donations exceed 0.5% of their adjusted gross income. As an example, if a taxpayer with an adjusted gross income of $500,000 donates to charity, only the amount over $2,500, which is 0.5% of that taxpayer's AGI, would be deductible. Second, the new law limits the tax benefit of donations made by taxpayers in the 37% marginal tax bracket, which is the highest marginal tax bracket, to 35%. As an example, if a high-earning couple in the 37% tax bracket donated $10,000 to charity last year, they saw a $3,700 reduction in their taxable income because of their donation. In 2026, however, the same couple donates $10,000 to charity, and the reduction in their taxable income will only be $3,500, despite being subject to the 37% marginal tax rate. Clients who are affected by these changes, but who would like to continue to donate to charity while maximizing their charitable deductions, might consider a bunching strategy, where they bunch multiple years of gifts into a single year, which could soften the impact of the 0.5% AGI floor and the 35% tax bracket ceiling. One powerful way to utilize a bunching strategy is to establish and donate to a donor-advised fund. By bunching donations to a donor-advised fund, clients can maximize the deductibility of their charitable giving while maintaining the ability to spread donations to individual charities over time. As an example, a client who donates $10,000 annually to charities can instead bunch 5 years of donations together and give $50,000 in a single year to their donor-advised fund. And then the donor-advised fund can distribute $10,000 each year over the next 5 years. From the individual charity's perspective, nothing has changed, but the client has maximized the income tax deductibility of their donations under the new law.
Thanks, Matt. That was great. You know, we recently released our 2026 planning guide, which is a really great resource for clients considering charitable planning. The 2026 planning guide is an annual publication written by the Advanced Planning Group. It's really a flagship piece for the group and designed as a comprehensive resource guide. In it, we cover a number of topics to encourage our clients to consider which planning strategies may help them reduce their income tax burden for the year, as well as consider whether there are any additional estate planning strategies they should implement. You know, when people think about year-end tax planning, they naturally think about income taxes. The guide, of course, covers federal and state income tax planning, but it also covers investment-related and financial planning, retirement planning, charitable giving, and wealth transfer planning. So the guide can help clients consider different types of charitable planning strategies or vehicles, as well as provide information as to how those gifts may impact their personal income tax return.
Thank you, Jacqueline and Matt, for sharing with us some of the great work you've been doing with our FAs. Jacqueline, to follow up a bit on the guide, of course, is very detailed and always very useful in providing planning ideas for clients. What's another planning topic that's coming up for you lately?
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, we work closely with business owners, and that's especially true when they're considering the sale of a portion or all of their business. We've really developed a cross-disciplinary team here at UBS to help business owners think about their sale in a holistic manner. These discussions inevitably lead us to a conversation regarding the structure of the business and whether the shares are qualified small business stock. Now, there are a lot of technical components to determining whether stock is qualified small business stock, but the company must be a C Corp and engaged in a business other than one that provides purely personal services, such as finance, law, consultants, things like that. Qualified small business stock has garnered even more attention lately because of changes made under the same tax legislation that Matt was referencing earlier. The legislation has actually made these benefits even more attractive. So for stock acquired prior to July of 2025, if the stock is qualified small business stock, then the shareholder can potentially exclude the greater of 10 times their basis or $10 million of gain on a sale. The shareholder must have held the stock for at least 5 years, and the company generally could not have more than $50 million in gross assets at all times and immediately prior to stock issuance. However, under the new legislation, for stock acquired after July 4th of 2025, the exclusion has been expanded. Now, a shareholder can potentially exclude the greater of 10 times their basis or $15 million of gain. This amount is further indexed for inflation starting in 2027. So we've gone from 10 times basis or $10 million to now 10 times basis or $15 million. Also, the gross asset limitation has increased from $50 million to $75 million. And finally, there's now a tiered exclusion based on the holding period of the stock. So like I mentioned earlier, if the stock was acquired prior to July of last year, then the shareholder had to hold it for a full 5 years to get the benefit of the exclusion. Now, if they've held the stock for at least 3 years, they can exclude 50% of the total allowable exclusion. So that means 50% of the greater of 10 times basis or $15 million. If they've held the stock for 4 years, then it's 75%. And then at 5 years, they get the benefit of the full exclusion amount. So this is clearly an important topic for business owners as we're talking about real meaningful tax savings here. So we have a lot of conversations around this topic.
Well, very interesting to hear those insights. A lot going on in the world of small business owners. And I do want to point our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, to the 2026 Planning Guide, which we have been making reference to during today's episode. For you, our clients listening in, please be sure to reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the 2026 Planning Guide directly. Though Jacqueline, Matt, as always, appreciate your time, your insights, and look forward to having you back again soon to continue the conversation.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
UBS Financial Services, Inc. does not provide legal or tax advice, and this does not constitute such advice. UBS strongly recommends that persons obtain appropriate independent legal, tax, and other professional advice. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.